Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Advent meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 15, 16, verse 20, and chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the seed of the woman, born to rescue mankind by dying for the dead and rising to give all life, to fellow redeemed. What is the most impossible birth in the history of this world? Pretty easy question for a Christian, isn't it? Of course, it's the birth of Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That doesn't happen naturally. That conception and birth was impossible without God. There was no father involved, no joining together with man and woman to make a baby. Just the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, overshadowing her and implanting in her womb that miraculous gift of the Son of God in human flesh and blood, the God-man, Emmanuel. But when you think of it, every single birth is impossible without God. For God is the only one who creates life in the womb. He brings those two needed components from man and woman together, and there's a conception. New life begins. Within 9 months, there's a birth. During this Advent season, we'll be looking at three impossible births. This evening, we look at a birth of impossible hope. The first birth there ever was must have been really longed for. Adam and Eve had brought sin and death upon themselves because of their rebellion. They didn't know what death was. They never experienced it or seen it. But they knew that death would mean separation. That they had felt because of their guilt, of their sins, and their fear of an angry God. They tried to hide from God. For a time, they were spiritually dead in their sins, separated from God. But then God promised them life. He promised them eternal life, everlasting life, through the seed of the woman who had come, born as a child, but come directly from God. No wonder Adam and Eve were so excited and thrilled. Those of you who are parents, think back to the birth of your first child, of the dreams, and the hopes, and the wonder. What would he or she look like, sound like, be like? One can imagine that and much, much more for this first couple who would have the first baby ever born in this world. There were no hospitals, no doctor, no one else there. You couldn't Google and find out what's pregnancy all about, or find out what's going to happen. No prenatal classes. This had never happened before. All they knew was that God had said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And, oh, by the way, with pain, you'll bring forth children. Yet with as much fear and worry and anxiety that they must have felt, there also was great hope. Hope for a new life. Hope for a baby to be born. It's going to forge ahead and maybe once again regain paradise that had been lost. They remember God's promise. God said that a child, the seed of the woman, would be born. And he would come and he would set them free. He would conquer and destroy Satan's power and authority over them. And Adam believed that. He believed that. That's why he called his wife, he named her, not mother of all the dead and the dying, because she led him into sin, but mother of all the living, Eve. This term life is often used with union with God. Sometimes even substitute for the word salvation. The word death, though, always connotes separation from God. With this baby being born, there now was hope. Hope because Eve now was the mother of all the living, and perhaps even the living one. When Cain was born, he may have thought that this was that promised child. In chapter 4, verse 1, the King James Version translates it, "Now Adam knew his wife, knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I've acquired a man from the Lord.'" But the Hebrew there can also be translated, and there are two translations that have it that way. Beck Bible says, "I've gotten a man, the Lord." And today's Bible translates, "I've gotten the man that the Lord promised." The name Cain means to get, to acquire. So Eve may have been saying, "I've acquired the one the Lord promised, the one who will set us free, the one who will conquer Satan and crush him." Eve didn't call God in that verse Elohim, which is his name, Creator God. She called him Jehovah, the God of the promise God, the Lord. All their hope and all their looking forward to the promise of God may have been resting in that very son named Cain. Gotten, acquired, brought forth from the Lord. In this phrase, there's both thanksgiving and praise on Eve's part. Thanksgiving because he got her through all the pain and the fear and the anxiety of giving birth to the baby. And then praise because the Lord Jehovah was faithful to his promises, faithful to his grace. And he gave to her a seed of the woman, a child. Eve praises God, possibly thinking, this might be the seed of the woman, the one who was to come. This belief in Eve's heart showed how deeply that promise was sunk into her heart, thinking that maybe already, immediately, shortly after the promise was made, the fulfillment is here. Looking forward to it. Reminds us of those New Testament Christians who, after Jesus ascended to heaven and said, "I'm going to return quickly," we're looking every day for him to return. Day after day, thinking, "Is it going to be now? Is it going to be now?" And he still hasn't returned yet. We see how these first parents trusted God's word. He made a promise, and they believed that promise. So, Eve was right. But she also was wrong. The timing was wrong. It would be, yes, a child. Yes, through the seed of the woman. Yes, it would be through a birth. But not this child. Not this birth. And she and Adam soon discovered that Cain would not be that savior of the world when they saw him in his sinful thoughts and words and actions. Because Cain was born, as we find out in the Old Testament says, "And Adam begot a son in his own likeness after his image." I always say that's one of the saddest passages in the Bible. Adam was created in God's image, perfect, righteous, and holy. Adam had a son, not in God's righteous image, but in his father's image. Spiritually dead in sins, blind to God, an enemy of God. And we don't know how long after Cain was born that Eve conceived again and gave birth to a second son. But we do know that it was enough time for them to realize that Cain wasn't that promised one. And how do we know that? Because of the name that they gave to their second son. They named him Abel. Abel means breath, vapor, nothingness, emptiness, vanity, useless. Eve's realization that Cain was not that promised one, and no doubt Eve's realization that sin continued to stain and scar and burden everyday life, led her to name her second son nothingness, emptiness, useless. At the time of naming Abel, Eve didn't even know the rest of the story, like we do. She couldn't have conceived in her mind the emptiness and nothingness and vanity of sin that went on between those two boys. How Cain grew up the opposite of Abel, a hypocrite, a non-believer, and the first murderer mentioned in the Bible. In envy and hatred, he killed his own brother. And so that prophetic name of Abel, Adam and Eve could see very clearly in their own sons, especially in the first son, that killed their own son. So they would have to wait a long, long time, a long and bitter wait, as they looked forward to that promised Savior. And what did they see? They would see sin rear its ugly head over and over and over, and death happen to their descendants for generations. Adam lived to be well over 900 years old. We're not told how old Eve was, but I'm sure she lived many hundreds of years. The Savior never came, but the promise was still there. And throughout the Old Testament, God's people waited and waited through all the bitterness, through all the suffering, through all the emptiness, through all the weariness, through all the vanity, through all the Abels to come, waiting for that child that had been promised, the one who would come as a seed of the woman to be the Lord, the Messiah. And 4,000 years later, 4,000 years after God promised Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he fulfilled his promise in the person of Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. We read earlier the words of the angel to Mary, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And when Mary asked the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel simply said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." The impossible would be done. The impossible conception and birth would be accomplished in both Nazareth and then in Bethlehem. A birth of impossible hope? Yeah, it was for a while, at first, for maybe Adam and Eve. Cain wasn't the one. But it was more a mistake in hope. Mistake in the person, but not in the wrong promise. Just the wrong person. Adam and Eve lived and died in that promise, confident and assured that someday the Savior will be born from the seed of the woman, not from Eve, but one of their descendants, a woman somewhere down the line in their offspring. Thank God that we don't have mistaken hope or an impossible hope. We have a certain assurance through the fulfillment of God's word. It's in that baby Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit miraculously, born of the Virgin Mary, laid in the manger in Bethlehem. That Savior who lived a perfectly righteous life so that his perfection is given to us through faith. And he died upon the cross, taking all of your guilt and all of your punishment and mine as well, and paid for it in full. And then he rose again from the dead to give to us the assurance that someday we will live like Adam and Eve lived prior to sin. We'll live in the paradise above. Amen and amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.